Welcome to the Inspired Intentions podcast with Skyterra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, and I'm joined today once again with Mr. Executive Producer and Hike Leader, Archery Shooter, Alan Broyhill.
I think they knew who you were talking about.
On the first maybe signifier.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Great to be here. We've got a guest who hasn't been here in a bit, huh?
It's been a long time. I think I don't even know what episode it is. I'm not just going to make a number up, but it's been since her and her sister were here.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be next level Q&A. I can feel it. So do you want to introduce who we have for our Q&A section today?
Yeah. If sister didn't give it away, we've got Teresa Osler here in the booth.
Yeah. Teresa.
Hello.
Amazing GM.
Hey, T. So glad to be here.
Awesome. We're glad to have you back. And we have brought you on for the Q&A portion. Your first one ever.
I love it. Thanks.
So just to give everybody a heads up, we brought T on to answer a really fun question that we actually didn't get to. And what that means is we did a Facebook Live last night, and we had a ton of listener viewer questions come in, and we didn't get to all of them. And there was a couple of questions that we wanted to hit. So if you want to see that, that's on our Facebook. Go back and listen to it. It's really, really cool. That's Jeff and Teresa answering everything you've ever wanted to know about a wellness retreat. So your question for today, Teresa, is what are the top three reasons that you think that our guests come to Skyterra? The top three reasons somebody comes to a wellness retreat.
I love that question, Alan. The top three reasons. I think the number one reason would be people want a reset. Mm-hmm. They want to feel better. They want to get back on track. Sometimes they want to just move forward in their wellness, but most of them just want to move to reset.
Yeah.
I think that's the number one reason.
Well said.
And we hear that word a lot lately, reset, right?
Reset.
And everyone can reset in different ways. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a reason that's super common.
Number one.
The number two reason can sometimes be a hard one. They've had some kind of a health concern. So they may have been recently diagnosed with high blood pressure, high blood sugar. Some of our guests have had either diagnosed with cancer or they have completed treatment and they want to get back to themselves. Some of them come to before a surgery. They want to get strong. Some of them have had surgery and they want to get back to themselves. That's another common thing we hear is people want to get back to feeling good, feeling back to themselves.
Yeah. When your health's impacted in a way, as Teresa's describing, you know, that is kind of that light bulb moment of it's time to make a change.
Yes.
And I think it's important to point out that no matter where you're coming from, we meet you where you are.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Very important. The third reason also, I think this is there's been some kind of significant life event, and these are hard. People are sad. They're devastated. A lot of loss, a lot of grief. Sometimes it's loss of a beloved family member.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's divorce. There family issues, things going on within their family. Sometimes it's retirement, job change.
True.
Some life event that has just shaken their world. And once again, they want to get back to themselves. They want to move forward. They need to feel better.
Amazing, Teresa. I think you crushed that question.
For sure. Yeah. I'm glad we finally got a chance to answer it. I know that was one of the big ones on the list from the Q&A on the Facebook Live that we didn't get to. So,
well, something I think you said really beautifully, Alan, is that we meet people where they are. So it doesn't matter where you are on your life journey. We meet you where you are, and we try to create an experience for you that helps you feel better, helps you get back on track, and if you're just barely moving, you can move better once you leave.
Yeah.
If you're running really, really fast, we can help you slow down.
Well said.
This has been so great. And, you know, I couldn't have answered it any better than General Manager T today.
Yeah, me either. Couldn't even come close to that.
Yeah. So we have up next, really exciting episode. It's going to be from one of our past guests. Well,
past current guest.
Yeah, Meg. Absolutely. Meg.
Yeah.
And, we love Meg.
Yeah. It's going to be super fun where she speaks into kind of her experience at SkyTerra and some of the at-home stuff that she had learning experiences around. So really excited to kind of allow listeners to
hear her story.
To hear her story.
And the experience you two had, because it's the relationship that you and her have created. Meg has been here a lot. If you have been a guest here on campus and you're a listener, you might have met her. She's an amazing human being, and she has a really great story.
Yeah, and I think it will actually blend nicely from what Teresa's explained about a life event, job change. You know, it really weaves into the progress that Meg has made in her life. So looking forward to the episode for sure.
Yeah, and we got another bit of a pivot because that is not the third episode in our nutrition series.
No, it's not.
That'll be coming directly after Meg's episode. But we also have a bit of a pivot in the 5-minute focus as well. Jeff, you want to tell them about it?
Yeah, so, you know, I was just losing a little motivation on our 8-part series in the focus. So what we have coming your way is a behind-the-scenes look at our most recent all-hands meeting address, and we've essentially broken that up so that we can provide you a focus that really is going to allow you to think about always being content but never complacent.
Mm. I'm excited for that because I actually missed our all-hands.
Yeah.
I was on vacation, so this is all going to be new to me. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
so
cool. We
hope you all enjoy the rest of the show.
Absolutely. Thanks, Teague.
Thank you.
Hey, Meg. Welcome to the Inspired Intentions podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, I knew word was going to be awesome because your hair looks amazing and that queen shirt is like next level.
Hey, man.
I mean, it really brings out your awesome tattoos. Yeah. And Alan is not on mic today. We decided that he needed his time to drink his nut butter latte that Meg brought him. And Meg, do you know you're the first guest, not co-host, first guest on the Inspired Intentions podcast who has brought us coffee?
Ah, I love it.
Yeah. What's your favorite coffee place in Brevard?
Velvet Cup, man. It's the best.
What do you like about it?
It just has the best coffees, the best flavors. They have nutter butter coffees. They have like honey cinnamon. It's great.
Yeah, it's nice that we let you out once in a while when you're here, right?
Yeah, you know, I try to sneak out the gate when nobody's looking, you know, try to bring in my contraband.
That's the way to do it. Well, Meg, I'm so grateful that we're able to spend this time together on mic. Your story has always been something that I think can empower many of our guests and listeners because you're so open about it. And so before we get into our topic today, I'd love for you to just let listeners in. What's your background? Let's start there.
Okay. So I came to SkyTerra after I worked in the music business for most of my life and just had really long, crazy work hours. I grew up in North Carolina, lived in New York, then moved to LA. So I've just been kind of moving around a lot, got into the music business and just had a really busy, busy, crazy work lifestyle. And when I stopped doing that for a while, I found that I was kind of in need of a deeper reset, let's say.
Yeah. How long were you in that lifestyle? You're in this music industry, like amount of years. And could you talk more about the intensity of your days?
Oh, man, it's crazy. So I think some people think, you know, concert touring, it must be really fun. And it is in a lot of ways. But, you know, at 6 a.m., I'm on a tour bus going to the venue to get everything set up. So we load in at like 5, 6, 7 a.m., we get the band on stage, do the show, whatever we load out. It could be 2 or 3 in the morning before I'm done.
Dang.
You hop on a tour bus or a charter jet and you do the same thing all over again the next day or the day after. And it's just a constant.
365 days a year, this was your...
Well, I mean, you do these tour cycles where if the tour cycle is a year and a half, you might go out for 6 weeks, home for 2, go for 4 weeks, home for 3 weeks. So you do have a little bit of off and on, but when you're home, you're still prepping where you're going or wrapping where you came from. So even if you're home, you know, it's not like a full-on break.
Yeah, you can't settle in. And that's always a struggle when we can't find structure in this balance piece. And it leads us into where we're going in our concept today, intense structure versus intentional structure. Now, tell us about what happened when you decided to come to SkyTerra. What I'm looking for is most folks who decide to spend the amount of time at SkyTerra like you have, they kind of hit this point and they say, hey, I need to shift my life. Mm-hmm. What did that look like for you?
Well, if I'm going to be perfectly honest and say, you know, I've been clean and sober like 22 years, 22 plus years, and I almost had to look at it like this. When I went away to get clean and sober, for me, I mean, everybody does it differently. I had to go away to a facility for 28 days. And even then I thought, that's such a long time. But, you know, hey, if it gives your life back, what's 28 days? And, you know, I had to do that a few times, not just once. So when I really wanted to get my life back on track in terms of health and fitness and exercise and food, man, like food is
food
like
was a big piece of huge, why you came here.
Yeah, like it's kind of what I replaced my addiction with, you know, like mm-hmm. it was food. So I just figured if I went away for a good 4 weeks, that'd be a good start. I mean, I had to kind of think of it like that because I've gone away to like a week long thing here, a week long thing, a yoga retreat, a health, you know,
workshop,
raw foods, whatever it's been. I've done a lot of that stuff. And I just think I needed more long term sort of focused.
And just so listeners know, our relationship, we've had a pretty close coaching relationship since
yeah.
the day you stepped through the doors of SkyTerra.
Since the day I went to your Inspired Intentions class.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Shout out to the class. And yeah. obviously, that's why we named our podcast that as well.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing from your background, your story, you go from this really intense lifestyle to then slowing down and not having as much structure. What started to show up in your life when you left that music industry world?
Well, first and foremost, I was exhausted. And I don't think I knew how exhausted I was because I was running on adrenaline like all the time. So when that's the norm, you don't really realize it. So when everything goes away and now you're left with space, you're like, wow, I didn't know how like literally physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything just exhausted I was.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, there was an awareness of the extreme exhaustion. And then there was... you know, sort of like all this structure, which was extremely productive. You know, we put on these massive rock shows and pulled it off with no hitches, but to no structure, right? And so it's like, how do I, you know, oh, maybe I'll go to a gym class over here or a yoga class over here, but then the food is out of control because I'm ordering DoorDash. You know, there's just no structure.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an all or nothing black or white thing.
Yeah.
Which is not good for people in recovery, you know, like drug and alcohol recovery. We're like 100%. Very black and white, and that's, you got to find the gray area, you know, middle ground.
Great point. And I think we can talk more about this gray area because coming from this world of exhaustion, tons of structure, what I did hear is you got a lot of purpose from your work. And I know how skilled you are. We maybe won't go through your resume on air today, but this person on air that you are listening to today is high level. And I think that when you go from this place of having intense purpose, intense structure, and then you start to realize that you're exhausted from it and the rest of your world has sort of been unacknowledged, you then move into this place of like, what's next, and haven't necessarily defined the new structures is what I'm hearing was the struggle. So as you shifted, what were some of the habits that you didn't feel great about that were showing up?
Well, for one, as you were saying that, I was reflecting like, you know, my life was taking care of everybody else, all these artists, all these managers, all these bands, whatever. And whether you're a caretaker for a family member or whatever, it's the same kind of thing, like focus on others constantly. So what showed up was like, wow, I have kind of like zero self-care. The same principles I would apply to taking care for others, I became aware that I was not doing any of that for myself. So some of the habits were just like, I mean, I was either sleeping a lot or not sleeping enough. And one of the things you and I have talked about too, is the TV. Like the TV just became a constant companion, binging out on Netflix, filling my time that way. And then the food, you know, and it's almost like I was using food to I don't know, whatever, cope or
fill
up my space.
Yeah.
I would think about it like, okay, what I'm going to have today? And I'd go through all the different things and just almost like obsess about what I was going to have to eat until I got the food. Yeah.
How did these challenges make you feel when you started to have the TV watching become your companion, the food start to creep in this way that it never had before? Like, how did it internally make you feel?
Not very good. It was like... you know, there's the physiological aspect of it, that it was just, you know, kind of numbing out my brain and making my body feel like so full that I would crash out, or all the sugar, you know, from the coffee or whatever. You know, it was just it, and to be perfectly blunt, again, I didn't mean to kind of go into this, but for me, it's almost like the same as the behavior in the drugs and alcohol. It's like, you know, the TV would numb my brain out. The coffee would get me sped up. The sugar makes you a little bouncy. The carbs and pizza makes you sleepy. So it was almost like managing a different way of like self-medicating.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. It sounds like the ping pong effect started taking place with the lack of structure.
Yeah.
Now let's move forward because you've done so much work around this.
Yeah.
And I think what you and I have done within our coaching relationship is get to the bottom of the cues and triggers.
Yep.
And I wanted to see if you were comfortable sharing what were the cues and triggers that you've discovered along this process of change?
Well, you know, one of the things we talked about is I would come home sort of in the afternoon. It'd be good during the day. And I'd come home and it's sort of like there's this empty house. I mean, I have my kitty cat, Durga. I love her. But there's this empty house. And it's almost like, you know, you put on like your comfy clothes and then you turn the TV on and then here comes the Netflix and then the what food do I order? And so there's just this whole kind of cue and trigger of the late afternoon into the evening of this process that just was almost like a numbing out process, you know, becoming kind of unconscious.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's exactly what you mean, but I recall writing something like that.
No. And to give listeners kind of a look into our work, you know, we've really created plans around this to get in front of this routine that started to show up for you.
And another thing is like the social aspect of it. You know, I'm around when I was touring, I was around hundreds and hundreds, thousands
so many
of people all
I
the
imagine.
Time.
Yeah.
So when I'd come home, I didn't want to be around anybody, like hardly at all, you know, maybe one or two other people. So there's that thing still kind of goes on. And even here at SkyTerra, the community is amazing. And I've built such a wonderful, I mean, all the staff and I've built a rapport with everyone. And there are days where I'm just peopled out after we do our classes and we have lunch and we have dinner. So some of the cues and triggers are healthy replenishing of my time alone versus numbing out and isolating. Like some of the behaviors look very similar. It's just kind of like what's internally going on is different, if that makes any sense.
It makes complete sense. I think so many of folks out there listening today will resonate and with what you're saying.
Yeah.
And what I was hearing from the social context that you're elaborating on is like for, you know, years on end, you had no social rest.
Yeah.
And so moving out of this world of intensity from performing, making sure the event is perfect, and then being around these hundreds of people, you were almost in need of that rest. And then this pattern showed up that was getting in your way of living the life that you wanted to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's when I think you decided, hey, I've got to get a reset, time to come to SkyTerra.
Yeah. And, you know, and I know we don't focus a lot on weight here, right? But I had gotten to a weight that was, you know.
Really quick.
Yes.
I love how you say we.
Yeah.
She does that, you know, after spending some time with us. I love that because it just means you're connecting to the philosophy and the guide that we're putting out. And I'll let you elaborate on that going back to the weight. Sorry to take a pause there. But
it's true.
I really enjoyed that.
Thank you for calling that out. You almost made me cry. But I do feel like I have to tangentially say this. I do feel like SkyTerra, you know, I had to go home for something for a couple of days. And when I pull back into the gate, and even when I come back, you know, after I've been gone for a while, it's like it does feel like a second home to me. And it feels like a really safe, supportive, comfortable space where I can continue to do the work that I need to do on myself. Not just fitness. You know, it's like spiritual, emotional, mental, all of it. And so, you know, the we slipped out, but I do feel that way. You know, I feel very supported. It feels very much like family here. And not just, it's you guys, the staff for sure, but even people that come, you know, you build such a bond.
The camaraderie
and the SMART program.
With folks coming here for similar reasons.
Yeah.
And to be clear, listeners, Meg did our Loose SMART program when she first started here.
Yep.
And that's just kind of her background within SkyTerra.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing more about the community of SkyTerra. I think that's important for folks to hear because that's the magic and it doesn't just come from the staff. Going back to what you were wanting to lead into about the weight, we don't focus on weight. What were you about to say there?
I was just going to say, you know, I did learn a lot about, I mean, that's what, I'll admit, that's what brought me here. I mean, I'm sure people say this. I mean, I Googled like all the words that you know that you might Google looking for a weight retreat place. But there was just something different about SkyTerra that drew me here. Also, because I could bring my pet, which is an amazing thing that most people don't offer. But I learned since I've been here not so much to focus on the weight. But truthfully, that was one of the huge reasons, because I just noticed, like, I was just getting, you know, larger and larger and way past what was comfortable for me. I didn't feel comfortable in my body anymore. I didn't feel like myself anymore. You know, there was all kind of blood pressure was crazy high, like 160 over 110. I've been cuspy pre-diabetes for a long time. And the problem with that also is, you know, and however this sounds, I mean, I almost have like a little bit of the other problem where people would look at me and be like, but you look so healthy, like you look thin. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not really based from my skeletal frame type and what's going on with my blood pressure and my blood sugar levels and stuff. Yeah.
And what I really picked up on is you did not feel comfortable in your body.
Did not.
And this is a powerful reflection that you had. You didn't know who you were anymore.
No.
Like you didn't recognize yourself. I think that happens to a lot of folks when they decide to start making some changes.
Yeah, you totally lose track. And again, I don't mean to keep correlating so much with the going off for rehab, drug rehab and recovery, but it was the same kind of thing. You come to a point where just I'm like at a crossroads and it makes me want to cry saying it, like, I can't function like this. Don't feel good. I don't have any energy. And I'm not myself anymore. Confidence, you know, just all of that.
Yeah, I heard.
Wasn't good.
Well, thanks so much for the detail behind like why you have come to SkyTerra, gone after these changes. I think that's a great place to start.
Hi, everybody. Do you hear that sound? That bird in the podcast booth? It's the sound of the early bird getting the worm. And that early bird is your friendly reminder to plan ahead when booking your next SkyTerra stay. On average, we are reserving up to 4 weeks in advance. We have so much happening on campus this spring and summer, our pickleball courts, our new outdoor living center, and at some point soon, our pool. We cannot wait to host you and show you all the ways we're continuing to grow and take flight. And we would be so disappointed if you missed out. So visit SkyTerraWellness.com or call our reservations team to book your stay. And again, please make sure you're planning ahead. We cannot wait to welcome you back to our nest. Back to the show.
Let's move into the changes you have made. I picked up on a phrase you said about coming back to SkyTerra is it's the safe place to continue to do the work.
Yeah.
So can you let listeners in, what work do you feel really great about? Like what progress have you seen?
Man, well, so when I came this summer, one of the things that you so gingerly and gently pointed out to me is this active couch potato thing, right? Like I would go to Orange, I mean, because I did start developing an exercise routine. Like that's one of the things I did, but I would go to, let's say, Orange Theory 4 times a week and be like, well, I exercised hard 4 times a week. But then I'd go get on the couch and do the behavior with the Netflix and the food and all that. And it is. It's like maybe I was exercising, but I was doing nothing outside of those other hours there. So one of the things that you pointed out to me was like, hey, you know, you probably need, for me anyway, you probably need to work out a little less intensely when you're actually in the gym, right? And do more walking and strength training. And my brain's like, it's just like, what? Work out less and walk more?
Yeah. Do less what? But better? Weird.
Yeah. It was like, wait a second. So one of the things was the walking. The walking's been huge. It feels better. It's meditative. I can listen to podcasts, your podcast, you know, but I it's not the same as feeling like I have to go in the gym and like hit it and like sweat and work really hard. I can walk for 3 20-minute increments in a day, and it really does a lot. So one of the things that's really working for me is I've added so much walking into my routine, and I do that at home. And in between the last time I was here and the time now, like I don't really think about it. It's just something I do.
Kind of that new normal.
Yeah, like the new normal. Like that's one of those habits that I implemented here, that I learned about here, and it's just part of what I do.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful that your relationships around movement has essentially changed.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm very passionate about, because you almost were explaining to our listeners that you were falling into exercise being the only thing that counts. And I love that walking has brought you some of the benefits that you're sharing.
For sure. When I left the first time, one of the things, even if I wasn't eating like my perfect SkyTerra type plate, you know, and maybe having a few things, if I was walking, the weight was at the very least sustaining or still releasing. because, you know, I'm sure everybody, you know, I can say it's not about the weight and we don't focus on the weight, but sometimes we do look at the schedule and
100%
the scale. And I was seeing that that was still continuing to shift. And the main thing I was doing was walking. And that blows my mind. Even still right now, it blows my mind.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's enough, right?
No. Yeah. No, we're so cultured, like, as you know, everyone, the culture is like, work harder, you know, work, you know, faster, no pain, no gain kind of thing. So I'm learning to shift that mindset.
Yeah.
And it's really just, it's awesome. Yeah, it's integral.
Well, thanks for sharing that specific habit that is your new normal. One thing came up in your first month stay where my wife, Lindsay Ford, director of nutrition, she challenged you to go out and test the relationship with food. Do you want to share with listeners what she challenged you to do, how you went about that? And I think the details and your success behind how you did that here could be powerful.
Yeah, thank you for reminding. That was huge, okay? Huge because, you know, pizza and ice cream are the two things that are my go-to when I want comfort food for me.
Are they the... How does Lindsay phrase it? Safe versus unsafe foods?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So those are the unsafe foods for you?
Definitely unsafe foods for me. So there's two issues. There are two incidents. There was the pizza and the ice cream. So she basically said, look, you know, don't restrict yourself. Like if you really want to have the pizza, go have the pizza. Just make it like an event. You know, there's another guest here at the time who also was really craving pizza. So we went together. We went into town. We got pizza. And it was funny because we're having it. And then Misty... She happened to walk in while we were having the pizza and we both looked at her and we're like, Jeff and Lindsay, no, we're here. We're on an assignment. We're not really just having pizza. Like we totally freaked. But the point I'm sharing that is the mindset around it was like, I still felt like I'm doing something bad. I'm doing something I shouldn't, even though there was all this support and direction around it, right? Well, a few weeks later, taking the same direction from Lindsay, I was down, went to Kilwin's and had some ice cream. And I'm sitting there on the pet park bench having the ice cream or whatever. Who walks by? Lindsay, she walks by right when I'm having the ice cream. And I looked up at her.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I was having cherry ice cream. I figured I'd get some fruit in my ice cream.
Oh, look at you.
But I'm having my ice cream and I'm sitting there in the sun. Beautiful day. She walks by and I look up at her and she goes, huh, having some ice cream. And I was like, yeah, it's awesome. It tastes so good. And we just kind of exchanged and went on. But that difference in mindset of like when I first did it with the pizza, there was still like, oh my God, we're supposed to be here having the pizza versus... I'm just having my ice cream. So there's like been a huge release around the whatever the energy or the I don't know what it is, but you get
almost
what I'm
like
saying,
your
right?
relationship with food. I think you were starting to get into the conventional thinking, good versus bad.
Yep.
And it sounds like even after taking the plunge and having the pizza, and then 2 weeks later, you got to this place of, hey, like having the ice cream. I don't feel bad about it anymore.
I didn't feel bad about it. And I don't, and now I will have those certain foods, not feel bad about them, and just doing it in a way that's safe, right? Like, or healthy.
Yeah. Planned. I like what you said, like making an event.
Making an event. Mm-hmm.
Because food, we're supposed to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And around all of these health habits, we just want to have a great relationship with how we integrate them into our life. So I'm hearing walking throughout your day. Getting out of active couch potato syndrome has been huge progress.
Yep.
Your relationship with food has changed.
Yep.
Where planning the unsafe foods has been working for you.
Yep.
What else have you learned or shifted?
Well, let's see. The TV thing.
Yeah, let's get into that because I know we're still collaborating and working on that and strategizing on how to best improve that relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, lest I go far off into the ethers on this thing, but I do believe that there is like a frequency, right, that comes off the TV. And depending on what you're watching, you know, and I'm not, you know, say, I don't know. It's just, it's something that I don't think is entirely healthy for me to be doing a lot of the time, right? There's so many other things I could do. I could write music. I've been writing music. I could journal. I could read. I could go for a walk, play with my cat. There's so many things that would not do the same thing to my energy field. And I do feel like too much TV just kind of brings my energy field down, like without going too far into like stuff about it. So especially at night. So you gave me the assignment to let's turn it on, you know, don't turn it on in the bedroom. And I don't do that anymore because if it's on all night long, even if I'm sleeping, I'm not really sleeping. And you know, we know from your classes, sleep is so important. And before I came here, I had been getting really good sleep, but there are nights where the TV would be on all night.
All night long.
And I just think it keeps my brain awake and tuned in a little bit so I don't get that restful sleep. So we turn the TV off in the bedroom. I've successfully done that here with our assignments. And then having two nights where I don't even turn it on at all. And, you know, I can tell you when I wake up the next day after not turning the TV on at all, I feel great and I have so much energy. I mean, it's insane to be able to see that little thing, just turn the TV off, you know.
You're making that connection with how it impacts your day.
Yeah. Like I knew it on some level, but now like I inherently can viscerally experience
internalize that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been incredible progress with the TV. I know that's going to be the continued focus to create healthy boundaries with it. And I'm excited for us to continue to do more work on that. I want to get into one other item today. And this is an item that I have a lot of conversations with guests around, and I get a lot of unplanned 10-minute check-ins with you. And it's this whole body composition thing, and it messes with our psyche. And I think you feel that at times, and I've sensed that with you. And so I want to just dive into that a little bit because I think that will be helpful for our listeners. When like we don't see the progress that we did in the beginning, how does that make you feel?
Well, for example, in the beginning, the first time I was here, I'll be vulnerable and just share. I was doing really well, and then there was a week where like something shifted and did something weird, or I lost muscle or whatever it was. And I literally remember I came to you and I was like
week three or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like borderline crying about it. And I'm like, what is going on that I'm this upset? I mean, this is my world at the time, right? And I'm this upset about this reading on the InBody. But then as I've stayed here more and had more of these, I've got like a notebook full of them now. I'm learning that, you know, there are some weeks where my body just does wacky things, or there's some weeks where it might have a big dip in one direction that might not be the direction I want. And then the very next week that completely reverses itself. So one thing I've really learned is like just not to pay 100% attention to it. It's great to look at it. It's great as a marker. It's great for progress. But if something shows up that I don't really like, you know, I trust that it's going to be different the next week, or, you know, who knows? The body is doing so many different things when it's resetting here. And I think that's just not always reflective of the work that we're doing here on that paper.
Yeah. And I think we fall into using that as our sole indicator of success
Right. Sometimes
when maybe the original intention was to lose weight.
Right.
And I like what you're saying, that the body kind of has a mind of its own. We were just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah. Also different, Jeff, like sometimes what it says on that paper, I'm like, that's crazy. Like I look thinner, I feel thinner, I look less puffy, but it's saying this. So I also just go by the way I feel too.
Yeah, that's so important. Well, thanks for being continually vulnerable during our time together. And I love that that's also been a conversation that we've been having, because that type of feedback from a quote unquote test, if you were in the booth with us right now, I'm using bunny ears with my fingers, test, it can get in people's heads. And I think what's been so helpful is that we do have that space to talk through it. And for you to even state on air today that like, as I focus more on how I feel, it removes that piece from maybe stopping the actions that you're continuing to take.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, I can get hyper-focused on it, and then I just remember, how do I feel? I feel great. Do I feel better than I did yesterday? Yeah. Do I feel better than I did in June? Heck yeah. So it's working.
Love it.
And working well.
So, intense structure versus intentional structure. Here's where I want you to give our listeners some steps. When it comes to that listener out there who's in intense structure mode, what would you tell them to do?
I think first and foremost, it requires the willingness to just sort of take a reset. and like look at the quote structure that is going on in my life, and then see what's working and what's not working. And, you know, sometimes it's not a complete like pull the plug out from everything
had to do.
Right. I mean, I ended up sort of doing that in a way. But you know, it's sort of like what pieces are working and what aren't, and then build on the things that are working and maybe remove some of the things that aren't. And even in my an intense structure, on a crazy day, because I do still have crazy long days for other things that I'm doing now, it's like, you know what, man, if I just take a breath for 5 minutes, if I walk out and just take 5 minutes of breath, and sometimes if it's, I got to go to the bathroom and I just take a minute when I'm washing my hands to remember an affirmation or take a deep breath, it can be that simple. So even in an intensely structured person's life, I think you can find little moments of time where you can do a few things that sort of help you bring you back into the body or into the breath. You know,
great advice, Meg. I like what you said, little moments, even if it is an intense day, a small breath, a meditation, even a mantra, maybe from Spotify.
Yeah.
It's a little inside joke, listeners. Anyways, one other thing I cued in on from your recommendation perspective is reflect, like evaluate, and don't just evaluate the things that are going wrong. Mm-hmm. Recognize the things that are going well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's flip it to advice on lack of structure. Someone out there, you're doing a lot of work on this right now. What advice would you have for them to be more intentional with their day?
Oh my God. Like the plan and prepare thing? Right?
4 P's.
Yeah. Because if like, for example, with Lindsay's going to help me with a meal planning thing. And yeah, if I'm going to continue to order, I'm a family of one, you know, so if I'm going to continue to order out, it's like what, you know, cuisines I'm going to order, how am I going to do it? So just a planning, so I have some kind of structure around my food, or, you know, what am I going to do for exercise this week? I know I'll go to Orange Theory twice. I'll go do strength training. Okay, where? You know, just that there's a planned structure. And I'm forgetting the other 2 P's right now. Plan, prepare.
Pause. And then proceed.
Yes, sorry.
You're okay.
But that's exactly
it. I'm so grateful you've remembered the first 2 P's.
Yeah.
But the planning and preparing is the intentionality that we're attempting to bring in into someone's life who maybe feels like there's a lack of structure.
Yep.
So great advice. You're saying a plan around the food, a plan around the movement. What about the emotional and mental? How could someone approach that?
Well, I think for me, and I'm going to hate to admit this because I think of myself as a lone wolf.
You're already being super vulnerable, so just keep going.
I mean,
Brene Brown.
I mean, hey.
She's probably a super fan if she's listening out there.
See, hi, Brene. no, but I feel like the community thing, like I am such an individual, like solo, lone wolf. You know, I like my alone time big time. And I'm realizing by being at SkyTerra, like it's so important to have community. And you and I have talked about this. And so it's like what quote communities can I plug into at home, and for how long? Like, if is it a certain group, or is it my acting class, you know, other musicians, what I'm singing, acting, like what communities can I plug into so that I have some kind of social support or interaction that is continual, so that I'm not just so solo and so lone wolf all the time that then I get into this isolation versus alone time. So isolation is not so great for me. Alone time is awesome.
Yeah.
So the community, plugging into different communities and finding social support is good.
I love that advice. Social health is so important. And we have many folks who have felt isolated. And it's almost the balance of the two. We want to have support. We want to be around people and still have space where we can get some social rest, which is really what you needed when you transitioned from that super intense structure.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something I would have never have thought was like part of the plan for me or part of the issue.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. And to let listeners in even further, that took us some time to get to. And I found that to be the most inspiring for me as a coach working with you, is that I think we got to a new place to address something that is definitely a need for you moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a surprise. Like when they ask us in the huddle, like, what surprised
the
you
Lou
this
Smart
week?
Huddle?
Yeah, what surprised you this week? That I'm really kind of a social person at heart, I think. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Well, great recommendations, Meg. I think your perspective's absolutely helpful. Final question. What do you want our listeners to remember?
You know, I would say that I think a big thing is like, hey, you don't have to do this alone. You know, you can come to a place like SkyTerra. There's tons of help here to meet you where you're at, as you guys say, whether it's fitness, whether it's, you know, people just need a break, an emotional respite, you know, whatever it is. It's like, you don't have to do this alone. Like, I think so much of us out there in the world today have things going on, or we don't even recognize that we have things going on. And then we try to fix it and solve it ourselves because why burden somebody with it or whatever, or not take the time to get maybe some extra attention on ourselves. And self-care is really important. So I think I would say that I want people to really remember, like, self-care is super paramount. And however you need to find that, if it's coming to SkyTerra or some other place or just in your daily life with a 5-minute breath, just find the ways that you can have self-care and prioritize your self-care, because it's really, really important. And you know what? We can't take care of other people if we're not healthy and we don't take care of ourselves. So self-care is not selfish either. And I think people think that, though. We're conditioned to think that.
Yeah.
So I really would love for people to remember that it's not selfish to take care of ourselves.
Well, our executive producer is nodding his head. I think you just had a mic drop moment there. Must be because of your music industry experience. Except you don't always want the artist to drop the mic, right?
No.
Well, Meg, I've enjoyed our time tremendously. This has been awesome. And I really look forward to continuing on this journey with you. And congratulations on all your progress. It's truly amazing and apparent, the changes that you are making, even though some days anybody doesn't feel that. I can see it in you each and every day that you continue to work on yourself.
Thanks, Jeff. And thank you so much for being a huge part of everything here at SkyTerra. I mean, the action steps are huge for me. So I appreciate all that you've done to get into the micro steps. The micro details, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. No problem.
Like, sometimes I feel so bad that I'm like, I can't turn the TV off. It's like, really? That's my problem? But it is. It's a huge thing. So, and thanks to Alan, too.
Listeners, welcome to The Focus. I am switching it up today. Why? Because I just need to gather, create, find a bit more motivation before we finish off our 8-part motivation focus series. That's right. It's one of those. So the great news is that we are pivoting and providing you with a special surprise for your focus this week. And it's a behind the scenes focus adapted from our most recent SkyTerra All Hands meeting. The SkyTerra All Hands meeting is a meeting that happens 4 times a year at the retreat. And it's when everybody from the numerous departments all come together, where if you've ever been to the retreats, we all wear many hats and we're all moving in very different directions. And so it's a really special opportunity for our team to connect and to really center around our mission, which is to make a difference in your lives. So are you ready for this behind the scenes focus? Have you ever said the phrase, "That's the way I've always done it"? Just like you, I've said this phrase a time or two. And just like you, I use this phrase rather often when someone floats something new into the sky. Have you ever said the phrase, "That's the way I've always done it"? Just like you, I've said this phrase a time or two. And just like you, I use this phrase rather often, especially when someone floats something new into the sky. Whether it's shutting down a new suggestion or hearing guests converse on campus, I feel like we need to be cautious of the phrase, "That's the way I've always done it." I feel like we need to remain humble and willing to rethink. Why? Because what got us to where we are today won't get us to where we need to go tomorrow. In 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded after a catastrophic shallow analysis of circular gaskets called O-rings. The team at NASA knew the O-rings could fail, but had a track record of overriding it in prior missions. They said, "That's the way we've always done it." Unfortunately, on this day, it was different. It was cold. The rocket booster joints ruptured, allowing hot gas to burn through the fuel tank, killing all 7 Challenger astronauts. Because that's the way we've always done it. Now let's flash forward 17 years later, 2003. The space shuttle Columbia disintegrated under similar circumstances. After takeoff, foam had fallen from the ship, but most of the team on the ground assumed it wasn't a major issue, since it had happened in previous missions. They said, that's the way it always happens. The foam loss was, in fact, a critical issue. It caused damage to one of the wings, and upon re-entry into the atmosphere, all 7 Columbia astronauts lost their lives. Because that's the way it always happens. NASA has long been a prime example of a performance culture. Excellence of execution was valued above all else. Although NASA accomplished extraordinary things, they became victims of what is called overconfidence cycles. Their people took pride in their operating procedures, gained conviction in their routines, and validated their decisions through their results. What happened is they missed opportunities for rethinking. The funny thing about success is that it can push any one of us into a corner called complacency. To avoid the corner of complacency, the solutions are clear. 1, you have to feed yourself a steady sense of accountability. You need to have a pulse on what's going on around you, a plan for improving your life as a whole. Now, 2, you have to sustain the desire to constantly improve. Strong, successful people don't accept mediocrity, nor do they rest on their laurels. And finally, 3, you have to be cautious with the phrase, that's the way I've always done it. This means approaching our expertise with more humility and our decisions with more doubts. It's all about making rethinking cycles routine. So, what I want you to do next is to ask yourself 3 questions. 1, what am I doing to improve as a whole? 2, where am I accepting mediocrity? And 3, how can I be more cautious with the phrase, that's the way I've always done it? If you fail to answer these 3 questions and don't take action on the regular, your success will just be a simple blip on the radar. You'll be stuck on a space shuttle that struggles to land. What I want you to remember from this 5-minute focus is what got us to where we are today won't get us to where we need to go tomorrow. Elevate accountability, seek to constantly improve, and foster appropriate self-talk where you remove the phrase, that's the way I've always done it. Life is so much better when you leave each moment, each day, each week, each month, and each year. Always content and never complacent. I want to thank you on behalf of the entire SkyTerra Wellness team for listening in today. We hope you enjoyed Meg's story and can apply some of her learning experiences to how you go about your changes. This has been a behind-the-scenes look at the all-hands meeting that is secluded only to teammates of SkyTerra, except for you now, listeners. Don't forget to send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. And if you know of someone in your life who might benefit from this podcast, please share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. He hopes that you join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into an already busy life. Thanks for listening.